So a lot of people complain that the United Nations is all talk and no action. And to a large extent, that is true. The UN does a lot of talking. But where it comes to no action, that's only partly true. The UN does undertake a lot of action behind the scenes, and very often these don't make headlines. In addressing conflicts and crises, the UN has several courses of action, the first of which is always the diplomatic track. So a lot of this happens, you know, behind the scenes. For example, in the case of the Ukraine war, there's a lot of quiet diplomacy happening. The UN can get other parties to broker talks between the two countries. In fact, that's the first course of action for the UN to take, because at its heart, it is a diplomatic organization. Now, the UN can also take stronger steps by exerting diplomatic and economic pressure on a country that may have violated international law. For example, in this case, the Security Council, which is the UN's most powerful arm, actually has the power to take punitive action against Russia. For example, impose economic sanctions, cut off its ties to the international financial system. It can restrict trade in and out of Russia, restrict fuel exports, for example. The problem is the only organization that can do that is the Security Council. And who's on that Security Council? Russia. And not only is Russia a member of the Council, Russia is a very important permanent member of this Council with the power to veto, which means Russia can block any action that the Security Council wants to take against Moscow. So that effectively takes the fight and the bite out of the UN's most powerful arm when it comes to matters of maintaining peace and security. Well, it's got the UN General Assembly, and this is very interesting because we've seen this play out so far over the course of the Ukraine war. Now, with the Security Council deadlocked, member nations took the fight to the UN General Assembly. Now, the UN General Assembly does not have the legal authority that the Security Council has to impose things like sanctions and arms embargo, but it has in its membership all 193 countries that are members of the United Nations. These, again, do not have legal standing, but what they do is they send a very clear message of unity among a majority of nations, telling Russia that, Russia, you stand alone here. The other options that the UN can take is to refer these allegations of human rights abuses and war crimes to the International Criminal Court, which has launched an investigation. The problem is, these kind of things take a really long time. Trial and prosecution can take years to play out, and no conviction is guaranteed. On top of that, Ukraine and Russia are not signatories to the International Criminal Court, which makes things a lot more complicated. The UN can take the dispute to the International Court of Justice, which is kind of serves as the court of mediation for the UN. Now, the ICJ has already demanded that Russia pull out of Ukraine. However, none of these organizations can actually enforce their orders and their demands, because why? There is no law enforcement entity within the United Nations. It doesn't have a police force, it doesn't have a military. So a lot of these laws cannot be sufficiently enforced. To be very clear, the United Nations cannot force Russia to do what it doesn't want to do, nor can it punish Russia for doing what it's not supposed to do, such as violating international law. Now, a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that the United Nations operates as some sort of government. The UN is not a government. The UN Secretary General is not a head of state, is not a prime minister, is not a president, and the UN doesn't have a military. So we cannot enforce a lot of these laws. The UN is also not a sovereign entity and cannot exercise authority over another sovereign state. So where it comes to taking action and its ability to exert its influence, there are limits. In the absence of being able to help find a political solution, the United Nations actually can do a lot on the ground. And this is where it can and often has the most impact in conflicts and crises. its humanitarian response. Now, the United Nations is the only organization in the world with the bandwidth, capacity, and ability to pool funding and resources and deploy emergency supplies to the front lines of humanitarian crises. And what it's done so far is it's launched a funding appeal for $1.7 billion to do just that, to pool resources together to get emergency supplies, medicine, food, water, fuel, and deploy these supplies to people displaced by the conflict within Ukraine, to refugees who have fled borders to neighboring countries. And it can also support these neighboring countries in hosting these refugees. And that is where the UN has the most impact. Yes, this isn't the first time, and it certainly won't be the last. The most obvious example I can think of is the Syrian war. Russia, as an ally of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, wanted to keep him in power. But Western nations, permanent members of the Council, the US, France, and the UK, wanted him out. So this divided the Security Council for years. There was a lot of shouting matches, boycotts, walkouts within the Security Council during their discussions. And, you know, over 10 years later, up till today, the Syrian war continues. Now, of course, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the longest running dispute of our time, we've seen the Security Council split between the US and other nations. We saw the Trump administration kind of making that very controversial move to recognize contested Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and then moving its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. A lot of criticism, a lot of disagreement and division within the Security Council over that, as well over Israeli settlements in Palestinian, on Palestinian lands. So this is why, when we say that the United Nations is all talk and no action, there is some truth to that, but it doesn't give the complete picture.